Morning, everybody. Matt Bubala here with you on 720 WGN. Please excuse the raspy voice. We're live in the Allstate Skyline Studios, high above Wacker Drive here in downtown Chicago. Joining us on the phone right now is the Executive Director of Preservation Chicago, Mr. Ward Miller. Good morning, Ward. How are you?
Yes, good morning. How are you? Thanks for having us.
Absolutely. Thanks so much for being on the phone with us a little bit late at night here. We appreciate it. We know that you guys come out generally with the seven most endangered every year, right? But this year you increased it to nine.
That's correct. That's correct. There are two urgent needs here, which are really remarkable buildings. The James R. Thompson Center, otherwise known as the State of Illinois Building in the Loop, and 19 to-be-consolidated or closed Roman Catholic churches in the city. So that ended our list, if you will. So we had the seven plus those two.
So generally, Ward, explain to us, when you do the seven most endangered, are these are buildings that are not already landmarked, so they're not going to, they don't already have a designation that means that they will be preserved in some way, right? These are ones that you think should have some protection but haven't qualified for that as of yet. Is that correct?
Well, that's mostly the case, but we do have one building this year, an Art Deco treasure, the Laramie State Bank in the Austin neighborhood. That's really a remarkable building with this polychromed, bright mustard yellow and celery green terracotta with a lot of white, sort of an off-white trim. And it's a remarkable building that is a designated landmark, but unfortunately it's fallen into foreclosure and it has a hole in the roof. And so even landmarks occasionally need a little help, and this one needs really somebody to take it on and steward it. So, but yes, most of them are not landmark properties, and we try to spotlight these through our Chicago 7 outreach.
Well, what happens when a building is landmarked? You say it's still falling into disrepair, it's got holes in the roof, it needs work. What is the onus on the landlord to take care of that? And is there, you know, is there federal oversight? Are there people that get on them about, hey, you own a landmark building, you have to do this minimum amount to keep it, you know, in a good state?
Well, we have something called demolition by neglect in Chicago. And sometimes these building owners don't necessarily take care of their properties. This is one where the owners really got ill and it fell into foreclosure. They're actually quite proud of their building. It's just that it became too big for them. And the building has just suffered from years and years of disinvestment. And usually, you know, if it's a downtown building or if it's a building along the lakefront, chances are we don't have those issues. But that's not always the case either. So it's really a case-by-case basis. But there is no federal oversight for designated Chicago landmarks. It's really the protections come in through the Chicago Landmarks Ordinance. The National Register of Historic Places encourages preservation, but it doesn't necessarily guarantee a building will be saved or protected. So it's a little dicey here. We only have a couple of tools in our toolbox here, and we're hoping to increase that in time with perhaps conservation districts. But right now, the only real way to protect a landmark building or a building in Chicago is to give it a landmark designation. And the Laramie State Bank is really an exception to the rule. So it is on our list this year to highlight it and to encourage a good steward to come forward.
All right, so let's talk a little bit about Jackson Park and the surrounding area. I went to Mount Carmel High School, which is not far from there. I worked at the Museum of Science and Industry for a few years while I was in high school. And so I graduated from Mount Carmel back in 1990, and Jackson Park was not a great park back then. And the whole area, of course, has languished economically. Tell us about your concerns about what's going on there, because from the outside, I would think any investment in the area is good for the city and certainly for the residents. But what are the concerns about what's happening there and what would happen if the presidential library and the whole park plan gets the go-ahead?
Yeah, so a couple things there. You know, first of all, we welcome the Obama Presidential Center, not library, but a center, because the presidential library will be elsewhere. The Obama Foundation and the city are wanting to take 20 acres of this really remarkable park designed by Frederick Law Olmsted. Now, Olmsted designed Central Park in New York, and he is by far the most important and significant landscape architect of the 19th century and early 20th century with his firm, his various firms. And these really are works of art. These are lands that also belong to the people of Chicago for more than 130 years. Parklands are really a place to relax and to recover from, the daily grind, so to speak. And we are very much supportive of the Obama Center, but on some vacant sites, privately owned sites, or tied to the University of Chicago, which owns quite a bit of land over there. And we want to encourage the center to relocate to those sites. You know, the parks are really special in Chicago. They're supposed to be forever open and free and tied to the lakefront. And the whole idea that politicians give away parkland for private developments, and this is a private museum and a private development, is really not a good precedent. And all the museums in the park, even though they look like they're on they were given parkland to build on, they were actually sites where the parks grew around these museums. And that's really especially the case on the museum campus at the Field Museum, the Shedd Aquarium, and the Planetarium. So we're encouraging better ideas. The city, as far as Jackson Park and repairs to the park, we really want the city to consider reinvesting in this park. It's really been neglected as far as its pathways and whatnot, and some of its buildings for a while. But we really don't want to see 200 trees, old growth trees cut for the Obama Center, and another 2,000 trees approximately cut for a rethinking of the fairways at Jackson Park, golf course, and the South Shore Cultural Center. We just think that this is all very heavy-handed, and this is not a good way to treat an Olmsted landscape and a work of art.
All right. Well, Ward, so it's tough because I understand what you're saying. There's a history here and this architect and all these things. How much land would not be for, I know it would be private land technically then if the way they let this happen, but wouldn't there still be a ton of parkland? Wouldn't it still mostly be a park and an area for people to walk and enjoy just like it should be now?
I don't think we want to set a precedent for stealing parkland. And you know, I think that we face this every now and then. If we had brought the Olympics to Chicago in 2016 as proposed, every park would have been used for that event, and it would have had really damaging consequences and scars. They were talking about an Olympic stadium in the middle of Washington Park, another Olmsted Park. So, you know, I think we have to be very careful. Our parklands are safe, are sacred here in Chicago. They're world treasures. I mean, this is a model that's used throughout the world. And Frederick Law Olmsted and his works, his parks, are really amazing treasures. So I think we have to be very careful. And our politicians should not be giving away parkland or offering it. And what we should be doing is if, you know, a museum wants to be in a park, I think we should be looking at creating additional parks and really encouraging quality of life issues here, not taking away public parkland that's been part of the public domain for 130 years, and also the site of the World's Fair of 1893 with a lot of amazing treasures and old growth trees on these sites. So I think we have to be very careful where we go with that.
I understand, Ward, but to play devil's advocate, you would have been against us having the World's Fair there. There was all that. I'm sure they built all those buildings, all those temporary buildings. A lot of stuff got displaced and torn apart at the time. If you think about it, going back to the time, your group probably would have been pushing against that, wouldn't you think?
No, actually that's incorrect, because Olmsted was involved in the planning of the World's Fair. He was the primary landscape architect. All the buildings were to be temporary, so they lasted for 6 months. They were created out of staff, which is like a plaster-like material with a wood frame. Some of them had steel frames, and that was all cleared away with the exception of the Palace of Fine Arts, which became the first field museum,
right,
which is now known as the Museum of Science and Industry. So these parks were to be rethought after the World's Fair and returned to what they were. As a matter of fact, Jackson Park wasn't completely finished before the World's Fair because of budgets and whatnot. So it really was returned to Olmsted's vision, or I should say built to Olmsted's vision, with the Museum of Science and Industry being the sole monument of a large scale in that park.
All right, let's jump over to the James R. Thompson Center.
Sure.
Governor Rauner wanted to sell it, wanted to tear it apart, was okay with it being destroyed. He really was not kind to that building, and that building has its issues, but he was not a fan of it at all. Now that he's gone, are we still concerned about the Thompson Center?
We are. There's a bill on our new governor's desk, Governor Pritzker, and he's considering a sale of the building. And you know, we all understand that the building was controversial from its beginnings. It's designed by Helmut Jahn, who's a world-renowned architect. He designed the Sony Center in Berlin, which is highly successful and really modeled, if you will, after this building. It was meant to reflect the old federal center that was demolished in 1965 with a public space. And when you think about this building, it has a large public plaza. People that are not exactly fond of its exterior, however, when they walk inside and they realize there's that 17-story atrium and that skylit space that's all really public space, they're really intrigued. And that is one of the great interior spaces of our city, and a postmodern building that was built for the people of the state of Illinois and the citizens of Chicago. And it's really part of a governmental center that's, across the street from City Hall and the county building. And of course, the Daly Center, built as the Chicago Civic Center, and the Brunswick Building, which is now another county building, the George Dunn Building. And, the idea of using every inch of space and selling it to the highest bidder in the loop really does defeat the purpose of these structures and their plazas. The whole idea of these kinds of buildings, like the Daly Center, like the Thompson Center, like the new Federal Center of 1965, and the First National Bank, now Chase Plaza, was to let light and air into the loop. And it really does impact sunlight and people's views, and it allows places for people to congregate at lunchtime to enjoy a beam of sunshine, a concert, a farmer's market. And it also allows a space for people to protest, to tell you the truth. So these buildings belong to all of us collectively. And I think it's sort of short-sighted to think of moving out all these state employees into rental buildings and then to turn this over for some, very large building. We've got plenty of empty sites and underutilized sites, in and around downtown, especially going, westward and a little southwestward towards the post office. And I think that's a more appropriate place to build tall buildings and not necessarily in the heart of the central loop and diminish these plazas and this light and air, which is so critical to how we think of downtown Chicago.
Well, I'll actually agree with you on this one. I don't love that building. I've never loved that building, but I think it's important to have different works of art in our buildings. Instead of, like you said, just, let's sell it, we can build something bigger with more usage. Those type of buildings set Chicago apart. They're part of the landscape of the city. And, the Thompson Building's been featured in many movies, and it's kind of an iconic building in Chicago. And it would be a shame for us whenever a building doesn't seem to be as aesthetically pleasing anymore or doesn't seem to get as much bang for its buck to just just throw it away. And I agree, the exterior is kind of, the colors scheme really needs to be changed. I think somebody could buy that building and fix it up and make it a jewel instead of somewhat of an eyesore as it sometimes seems now.
It's been neglected and a lot of deferred maintenance over time. And, you know, I think an important thing is that, you know, we can't all be arbitrators of good taste and, you know, we can't really impose our views, our personal views on things. I think we have to take these things in stride and remember that, you know, there might be a time in the future where these buildings are greatly appreciated. Right now, at 35 years old, 40 years old, sometimes these buildings are hard for the general public, the larger public to accept. But, you know, as a state office building, it was great, it built at great expense. And I think there's a lot of wonderful public spaces within this building on both the plaza level, the interior atrium, the concourse level below. And I think this building could be reactivated. There were concerts in this building once upon a time. And it was meant, its glass and its glassiness and its transparency were really meant to sort of talk to a building that where the public government and the general public could coalesce and where there'd be transparency in government and a building for the people. And unfortunately, that was never really realized, if you will. But it could be, and I think that's important to think about what these things could be.
Ward, we got a quick call for you. Bill is in Downers Grove. Bill, you're on WGN. Good morning.
Yeah, Matt. Hey, listen, hot tea, honey, and lemon.
Thank you, sir.
Okay, now. Hey, listen, I've been listening to your guest, and I thoroughly agree with him. I love Montgomery Ward, and I think Sears was a participant, too. He said the lakefront is, you know, paramount to Chicago. Protect it, whatever. Regarding the Obama Center, if you will, I've been, you know, looking at all these properties that are for sale for a dollar. To, you know, I think that's the latest offer, if you will.
Right.
They should clear out a section of Southside Chicago and put up the Obama Library there. Parkland should be preserved for every resident of Chicago. It promotes sanity. It gives a person a place to, you know, relax and enjoy open spaces. That's why I think the Obama Library, interfering with the Park District's property, if you will, you know, disrupting all kinds of traffic, if you will, is utter idiocy. That's my personal opinion.
Thank you very much, Bill. I appreciate it. Ward, so he's on your side. Now, I haven't looked at this as extensively as you have, Ward. I'm sure of that. But in my mind, Jackson Park has been in disrepair forever, and it's still going to be, I mean, am I wrong in this? It's still going to be, as they set it up, a lot of open space, a lot of space for people to walk. There would be buildings and other things that get in the way, and I'm sure parking, but there would still be a lot of open space there. Your beef with this is more, we're selling it to somebody private, and it's not being pure parkland anymore. Is that correct?
Yeah, and you know, Matt, the thing is that, we've neglected our parks. And, you know, this was a case in the 1960s and 70s when Ed Kelly was in office and heading the park district. And, you know, TIF monies and those kinds of things that take away monies from the parks and the schools, you know, and give it to areas of disinvestment or to developers and I'm not here to argue that the benefits or the negative aspects of TIF dollars, but you know certainly these parks should be better maintained, and it's an embarrassment when you see the Comfort Station at South Shore Drive near 67th Street by Daniel Burnham falling apart. I mean the clay tile roof is falling in. The columns are falling apart. They had to fence it off this last week. And, you know, we're thinking, you know, in our opinion, that these parks are not to be given away every 5 years with, you know, some offer that comes up. And really, these parks should be preserved, and they should be landmarked because of their importance. They should be given a priority to invest in them because lots of people use these parks. And you know what? We were talking about the idea of a national monument status, some type of National Park Service partnership. So we wouldn't see these things, and maybe it could lift the load from the city and the park district to manage these parklands, especially along the lakefront. And we see these national parks, out west, but keep in mind that Pullman, the south side of Chicago, the SS Beeman and George Pullman factory town, just became a national landmark under President Obama. And, the Indiana Dunes just became another national park, national monument. And you know what? This is the lakefront. It's a really amazing space, and you could really create that national monument status from Rainbow Beach, if you will, all the way down to, Hollywood along the Chicago lakefront, and perhaps have, the federal government and the National Park Service help the city of Chicago repair these parks, because for some reason the park district is failing. It's not something to give to a private foundation to fix. We've already had enough privatization of a lot of aspects of park usage, which we can't go into today, but I really think we need a big idea so that this is not giveaway land. We should be building on top of the Illinois Central Tracks, the South Shore Tracks, Metro Electric is what it's called now, and, expand the museum campus onto the Michael Reese site, green over some of these, railroad tracks and railroad yards. There was a time not long ago where Millennium Park and where Illinois Center is and the Standard Oil Building, those were all railroad lands, and, now they're beautiful parks and spaces. So let's be positive about this and shoot for high ideals, because right now, the parks are getting shafted, really.
Ward Miller is the executive director of Preservation Chicago. You can read more about their list at preservationchicago.org. We're out of time because we have to get to the news, but Ward, it's always great talking to you. I appreciate the time tonight.
Thanks so much, Matt, and everybody can go to www.preservationchicago.org. We have a wonderful newsletter. Sign up for it. It's all free. Thanks so much.
Excellent. Thank you, sir. We'll talk soon. Ward Miller from Preservation Chicago. We've got the stories that matter from the Northwestern Medicine Newsroom coming up next on 720 WGN.